Well, good morning. It is really good to be with you, to be among many friends and familiar faces, as well as to meet some of you who I have not met before. And as Michael said, my name is Bruce, and my wife Lisa is here with me today, and it's a privilege to be together with you. I brought a picture of my family. Some of you like family pictures. Here's my all the women in my life, including my mother-in-law in the middle there. You can pick out which one she is. But Lisa and I have four adult daughters, and they are all in their 20s. The youngest is 21, and the oldest is 28, and 29. And so this is a season of life that we are thoroughly enjoying, of walking alongside adult kids, and it's been a huge blessing. Well, as was mentioned, I was a local church pastor for 21 years, and so really have grown to love the local church and have served in a variety of capacities in that way. And yet, in God's story, in God's plan, this last year has been a shift, and it's been different. And as was mentioned, I've been serving within the role of Multiply for the last year. May 16th last year is when I began, and so this has been a new journey for me, and it's been a huge blessing to get to know and to walk alongside people who are serving in Multiply and have for years, and people like Lori and Norm Nickel, who are here part of this church, Sam Dick, I know, and probably others who I'm not even sure that this is their home church, but what a blessing. And one of the things that I've even seen and observed in Multiply is true for, I think, every one of us as we walk with God in His kingdom story is you have these parallel tracks that kind of go along where you have this beauty and wonder of God and the incredible things that God is doing. And right alongside that is this pain and brokenness and mess that also goes parallel, right? And I think we feel that in our own lives. It's true in Multiply. It's true in the work that we do together in that way. I've also, as Michael mentioned, really enjoyed getting to know Michael and working with him in the Canadian Conference, and with Steve Berg, we partnered together for some intense seasons during that time, but it was really, really good, and I'm really thankful for these connections. So it's Pentecost Sunday, and we are celebrating again and being reminded again of the work of God through the Spirit of God and the invitation that He has to each one of us to live a life of faith. And I was asked to join, and just really delighted to join in with this series that you're walking through in Hebrews 11, this well-known chapter that talks about what it means to live a life of faith. And so I want to join in with that and focus in on the texts that were assigned to me, wonderful texts about Abraham and some of his story, and I'm going to read that in just a minute. But my outline for this Sunday is really simple. It's just three basic things that I want you to get, and we'll walk through each one of them. And it's simply this: faith involves moving. In other words, there's an action that takes place. Faith involves laying down. In other words, there's a posture that is involved in faith. And faith also involves trusting, not in ourselves, but in God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, that He is faithful. The one who calls us is faithful to see us through to the end. And He is with us as we go into a life of faith. And so let's just read our text today. Hebrews 11, verses 8 to 12. And it says this: "By faith Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God. And by faith, even Sarah, who is past childbearing age, was enabled to bear children because she considered him faithful who had made the promise. And so from this one man, and he as good as dead," I love that line, "came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as countless as the sand on the seashore." So three times in this text we see that phrase, "by faith." Powerful words, by faith. And this chapter that you've been exploring in recent weeks is a favorite chapter I know of many people, probably for many of you. And it's a great chapter. It can inspire us, it can encourage us, but it's also a chapter that can create some distance for us, if we're maybe really honest. Because we read these stories and we read these accounts of these people, and if we put them up on sort of a pedestal, it can actually lead us to kind of go, well, I don't know if I can live that way. Because it's a challenge to bold faith and a challenge to bold living. And so the distance comes when we make them the heroes of the faith and we put them up on this pedestal and we go, well, I could never be like that. Like they had some superhuman powers that we don't have. But instead, they're just ordinary, spirit-filled, faithful people. Because it's not a call to heroes. It's a call to, like I said, ordinary, sinful, messy, weak, doubt-filled people living out their faith in stumbling transformation. That's who they are. If you read deeper into each of their accounts, you see more and more of that. And so it's an invitation to each one of us today to live out faith in our everyday lives. And so when we read a text like this, we can kind of feel very inadequate. But that's the whole point. You are inadequate. I am inadequate. We are inadequate. But it's God that is not inadequate. It's God who is faithful, who gives us the power of his Holy Spirit. And he who calls us is faithful. And he is totally, fully adequate. So three aspects that I mentioned earlier. First of all, faith involves moving. It's an action. It's a call to go. We see that in Abraham's story. God invites his people by faith to be people on the move. And if you go back to the original account in Genesis 12, 1 to 4, the Lord said to Abraham, go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. And I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all the peoples on earth will be blessed through you. And then it says, so Abram at that time, went as the Lord had told him. You see, Abraham was called to go. And he obeyed. Didn't know where he was going. Had no idea what was on the other side, what the other side even was. He just knew that it was time to leave. And in the video that we just saw a moment ago, you saw the stories and glimpses of many people willing to be on the move to go to an unknown place. Trevor and Joan, who go from Canada to the country of Colombia to serve for many, many years. Ainer and Harissa, who are called to go from Colombia to actually serve the indigenous people in Panama. You have Kyle and Danae, who are called to go from the U.S. to the country of Uganda. And Aaron and Arun and Anjana, who are called from India to come here to Abbotsford and to serve in this context. And I could tell you many, many more stories of Pablo and Marcella Chavez, who were new to the state of California and then moved there as young kids, grew up there and were living what they would call the American dream, and then felt the call of God to go to the country of Peru, to return to Latin America and to give up so much, but to go. And they've been there for a few months now with their three boys. Or Karen and Rick Sawatsky, who after a whole career of teaching in their 60s, 62 and 63 years old, decided that the Spirit of God was prompting them to explore a life of mission and went and did a focus internship and went and joined a bunch of people who were way younger than them. They said when they first went there for this training in Winnipeg that it felt like they were going to a youth camp. And then they eventually got sent out and spent 6 months in Lithuania, and they were an incredible blessing. And now are in the long-term missionary training for this fall to return to Lithuania. And so we have stories of this call to go. So today, I want to give you a bit of a taste of that. I want you to experience that some, okay? You're either going to really love this or really hate this. I'll just tell you right up front, just don't hate me. So what I want you to do this morning is I want you to go on a 50-foot mission trip, okay? 50-foot mission trip, that's the call. Now, for those of you who are, you know, challenged mobility-wise, you don't have to move. I give you that blessing if there are young kids or you got a lot of stuff. This is an invitation, but I want you to feel what it likes to get up and move. Now, I know how it works in a church. Again, I was a pastor for 21 years. You sit in very similar places, don't you? Yeah? Okay. And you know the people around you because they sit in similar places. So the invitation in just a moment, don't go yet, is I want you to go on a 50-foot missions trip. And I want you to like take your things with you because you're not coming back. And so you're going to go to a foreign land and meet some strange people that you've never met before. And if you're really brave, you will go up to the far off distant land of the balcony And if you're even more brave, you will go from the far off distant land of the balcony and you'll come sit here right in the front row in the spitting zone. Okay? I want you to feel what it's like to move in a life of faith. I'm going to pray and then we're going to go. So Lord, I thank you for your call to each one of us to live a life of faith. And I pray, Lord Jesus, that even in this simple little exercise, that your spirit would be at work, that you would actually help us to feel some things, that you would actually help us to meet some new people, that you would help us to go to a foreign land. And God, that even by your spirit, that you would surprise us what you have for us this morning. I pray. Amen. So we're going to take 3 or 4 minutes. I'll wait. And I want you to get up. Not everybody is going to go, but I want you to go on a 50-foot missions trip. Go and meet some really nice people. Okay. Time's up. Your missions trip is landed. Okay. So find your spot. So now, wasn't that fun? No. We're still friends? We okay? Okay, see? Oh, Jeff and Connie. Connie works with Multiply. See, I knew I'd miss somebody. Hi. It's good. Gives you a bit of a glimpse, okay, just a bit of the feeling. Oh, there's a small little taste. God calls us to move. You know, one of the interesting things that we're seeing with Multiply is that there is a correlation between moving and fruitfulness. As we work with global workers on the field, that people who are willing and able to actually physically move to new regions and continue to move, just like we see in Scripture, there is a correlation between that and fruitfulness. Because now moving happens in a variety of different ways, and we're going to see that. But we actually are still calling people, and maybe God is calling you, maybe even this morning God is calling you to physically move from wherever you live here in this region to another part of the world. And if that's the case, I just encourage you to talk to Sam or talk to me, and we'd love to help discern that. But we are still calling people to go to long-term missions, to become global workers, to learn a new language and a culture, and to serve national leaders. So my question is just simply, how is God inviting you to move? What does that look like for you? It's just a willingness to move from a place of comfort, familiarity, security, in order to step into an invitation that God has for you. It was mentioned by Michael, you know, for Lisa and I, one of those moves for us was in 1998, many years ago. I had been working at Columbia Bible College for many years, and I loved what I did. I loved the work that I did. I loved where we lived here, the things that we were doing, but I had this restlessness of God that it was time to go. And so we ended up leaving. We had 3 kids at that time. Our third had just been born, and we moved to Calgary, feeling like, well, maybe that's where I'd be involved in the hockey world. That was sort of my world at that time in discipleship. And eventually ended up in Saskatoon pastoring a church, which I never imagined that I would be doing, but would have never experienced that had we not actually moved. And it became this thing where, oh, wow, and I didn't know what I was doing. Still didn't, even 21 years later as a pastor, but it was something that I just grew to love. But it comes with a physical move of actually stepping out and doing that. But how do we move if we feel that God is calling us to stay? A couple of years ago, after 21 years of pastoral ministry, I was sensing this restlessness of God again, and that it was time to go. And yet Lisa and I felt that we were called to stay in Saskatoon. And so resigned from that position of this church that we loved, and this time we didn't physically move, we actually stayed in the city. And so now even as I work with Multiply, we live in Saskatoon, that is still home for us. And in some ways, that move was almost even harder because we didn't physically move. We needed to leave our faith community, the church, in order for them to go through leadership transition, but we stayed put. And so it's been challenging in lots of ways. But how is it that God is inviting you to move in your life right now? From a place of comfort, familiarity, to a place of obedience that he's inviting you to. And if it is not physically moving, maybe it's in a posture. And that gets us to our second point, is that faith involves laying down. Faith involves laying down. It's a posture. A posture is a willingness. You know, posture is something that's interesting because we can only, we actually can't see our own posture. I can't see my physical posture, but you can. We can only see the posture of another person. And so we have the need of other people to help us to see our posture. But our posture is also a choice where we actually choose to lay something valuable down in the light of God's story, in the invitation that Jesus has for us, in another step of obedience. And maybe it's something that's really valuable to us, but it fades in comparison. Abraham, he had to let go of knowing what the future held. He had to let go of his family and familiarity and comfort and where he had grown up, and he had to lay down a lot of good things. The Apostle Paul in Philippians 3, one of my favorite texts, he says it this way. Paul had to do it too. He says, "Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus." And what Paul is talking about is earlier in the chapter, he was talking about laying down his confidence in the flesh, laying down his education, the fact that he was a Pharisee, the fact that he was a Roman citizen, the fact that he was circumcised on the eighth day, the fact that he was just such in a strict accordance to the law, he knew it all. He had all the human credentials. And then he said, "I considered it all garbage and I needed to lay it down in order for God to use me." And so faith reminds us that when we place our trust in Christ, that God has a better future for us than anything in our past. But we don't often see it at the time, do we? So the call of faith is to always look forward. It's to look forward and it's to release. It's a constant letting go. It's a constant release of good things in the past. In Hebrews 11:10, in our text today, it says, "For he was looking forward to the city with foundations whose architect and builder is God." That's what Abraham was looking forward to and needed to lay down the past. And if you continue reading in the original story in Genesis, you see in Genesis 22, he was even willing to lay down his son Isaac. So what is it that God is calling us to lay down? One of the images that I've often liked is an image of a nursing log, and I have a picture of some here. Nursing logs are interesting. I've had the privilege of doing hiking, a fair bit of hiking on Vancouver Island, on the west coast of that. And I've taken a bunch of pictures. I don't remember if these are mine or stock photos. I don't remember. But I've taken many pictures like this where you see these trees that are growing out of what looks like a fallen down log. And they're called nursing logs because they are fallen down and they look dead, but they're not dead yet. They still have stuff flowing through them because they actually become the source of life for the little seedling that starts to grow out of them. And then eventually that little seedling grows up and becomes really big and it spreads out roots and it makes its own contact with the ground. And then that log decomposes and it just kind of disappears. But for me, what I've loved about this image of a nursing log is it's this picture of intentional posture of laying down. And something that is really good and maybe even still has life in it that maybe needs to lay down in order for something new to grow. And this is true in our churches all the time, right? Like whether it's programs that we do, things that we hold on to, but things in our own lives that have been really meaningful and significant for us that we think, "Oh no, I could never let that go because it's been so valuable in my faith journey." But then God invites us to lay it down. And actually it becomes the source of new life for something new to emerge. And so part of a life of faith is this posture and willingness to always lay down and say, "God, what is it that you want me to lay down in order for you to grow something new?" And so extraordinary faith of ordinary people happens when we choose to do that. When we exchange the things of the kingdoms of this world for the kingdom of God in a new way, because God has something better for us. Thirdly, faith involves trusting. Trusting not ourselves, not the other people around us, but trusting God. The character of God, God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, that God is always going to be with us. We see that in this text in a variety of ways, and I just have a few texts I wanted to highlight again. If you go back to Hebrews 11:1, the definition of faith that is well known. Now, faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. And this is what the ancients were commended for, because their faith was in God alone, the true God who had called them. And then in verse 6, it says, "And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him." And then in our text today, related to Sarah, it says that she considered him faithful who had made the promise. She considered him faithful who had made the promise. God had made a promise to her and to Abraham, and she trusted. And so the question again for each of us is, what or who do we put our faith in? We all put our faith in something. We all trust in something. And sometimes it's hard to discern that, but a life of faith, an invitation to this life, is putting our faith in who God is, what he has done, and what he is going to do. And so we do so with trembling hearts and unsteady hands, realizing our own weaknesses, doubting our own ability to see God leading us, but we struggle forward in faith. And you know what? We're in good company. If you read through even these stories, and last week Mike talked about Noah, and if you read the account of Noah, Noah was a mess, but he was a man of faith at the same time. You read the life of David. David was kind of a mess at times, but he was a man of faith. You read the story of Moses. Moses was a mess at times, but he was a man of faith. Abraham, he also struggled with some things, but we just read kind of the highlights. But if you dig down into the stories in all of these accounts, and even Jesus' disciples, we see people who are very real, very raw, very broken, and it's kind of messy. But they keep walking, and God is with them. Because faith is a messy road. We like things linear, especially some of us and how we're wired. We like things to be figured out. We want to know what the next step is and the next step and the next step. We don't like to kind of be surprised by things. And we like things to be on a straight path that we can kind of predict and that we can see. But God doesn't typically work that way. He uses our stumbling transformation and our messed up lives for his glory in a very non-linear pattern. And we need to remember that it's God's story and that our story only makes sense as it fits into God's story. I have another image for you that I wanted to share with you, and I want you to go home and you can share this with many people now. You'll be like the smartest person in the room or something, and it's called fluviogeomorphology. Can you say that? Yeah. I took a geography class in 1984, University of Saskatchewan. This is the only thing I remember. That's it. But it stuck with me because every time I get into an airplane and I fly on a clear day, I see it all the time. Fluvial geomorphology is simply the study of the meandering of rivers. Fluvial means water, geo means land, morph means change, ology means the study of. So it's the study of how water changes the land. Fluvial geomorphology, okay? And so if you look, rivers continue to meander, and water flows faster on the outside and deposits on the inside, and so the curves get greater, and I could teach all kinds of stuff around that. I won't. It's fascinating. So next time you're in an airplane or you see something, this is what's going on. And when I look at this and I think, if this is actually a picture of our life of faith, there is no wonder that we are tired and exhausted, because if this was just a straight line, we would make a lot more progress. And that's what we often like, is we like the straight line, but this is more how I think God works in our lives. And so for me, this has been an image of a life of faith, is that God works in our mess, God works in our brokenness, God works even in our sinfulness, and somehow redeems that for his bigger purposes, and he is carving a bigger story than we can see when we're on the ground. We're in the boat or in the river or whatever you want to say, and we're kind of cruising along, and we're thinking we're making really good progress, but we're on one of those bends there, and we got a long way that we're going to be coming back. And so often our life of faith is a picture like this, isn't it? In Isaiah 55, there's this passage that many of us know, and it reminds us of why this is. It says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts." So I want to encourage us today. Be encouraged. God is at work in your life. You might feel like you're in a meandering river and that your life is going back and forth and you wonder, where am I going? But God sees something bigger. He sees from a different vantage point than you see. And again, when we look at these accounts in Hebrews and we think these are amazing heroes of faith, we think we could never have faith like that. I think if we read Scripture carefully, God is actually showing us the opposite. He's showing us that these are very real human people with very real faults, with very real doubts and weaknesses, with things that they see as obstacles and they struggle. And he uses them all the same. And God is using you. He's writing your story. God's inviting you to increase steps of faith, to trust him again. Because God is the one who is faithful and will do great things through you by the power of the Holy Spirit. And those great things might be small things that are only seen at the end of time and only seen in future generations, maybe only seen by nobody else but a few people in your family or close friends, but they matter. Because God's mercy and his love and his grace is amazing, and he continues to show up and encourage us. Yeah, if you read the story of Abraham in Genesis, it was not a linear story. It was windy, painful, and exhausting. And in that, Abraham, he cried out to God, and in Genesis 15, 1, it says this, "After this, the word of the Lord came to Abraham in a vision. It said, 'Do not be afraid, Abraham. I am your shield. I am your very great reward.'" And Abraham's doubting, and he's like, how in the world could this ever happen, this promise of these offspring and this whole nation that you've, like, it makes no sense. And God takes him outside, and he says, "Look up at the sky, count the stars, if indeed you can count them." And then he said to him, "So shall your offspring be." Abraham believed the Lord, and he credited it to him as righteousness. So Abraham was called with a promise. This promise of blessing, to go and bring the blessing of God to the nations of the world. And we are invited into this same blessing. Jesus gives us this same call. We see it in what we know as this great commission in Matthew 28. Jesus says, I'm calling you to go, to disciple people. And as you go, disciple people of all nations, and I will be with you always. Because he says, all authority has been given to me, and I will be with you always, because I will give you my Holy Spirit, and my Spirit will be with you. And so you can go, and you can disciple as you go, and we have been given this call. It might be to go to another country. God maybe is calling you to that. And I'd encourage you to press in and pay attention, pray, gather people around you to discern. But it might be just to actually walk across the hall at your workplace, and to bring something of the blessing of God to that coworker who's really hard to love. Or maybe it's just speaking the name of Jesus to a neighbor who you've talked to for a long time in lots of ways, but always on a surface level. Or maybe somebody in your family, just to proclaim the name of Jesus in a way that points them to who God is for you and could be for them. So a life of faith is one that calls us to go in some form. A life of faith, and the invitation for us is a life that calls us to lay things down. To lay down some of the things that have been our priorities and our focal points and maybe sometimes our distractions. And it won't be linear. It won't be easy. But God is with you. God's Spirit is with us. And so I'm not sure how God is asking you to respond. But I just know that God will weave our stumbling story of faith into his great story of hope. Could we stand together? And I just want to pray with us. Yeah. So Lord Jesus, we just thank you so much that you are a God who is a missionary God who went yourself. We see that in the person of Jesus Christ, God incarnate. God came here to this earth. You came in the form of a little baby. You are a God who goes to your people. And then you invite us to do the same. And Lord, I just thank you for this account of Abraham and what we've been able to just scratch the surface of today, but this man of faith and Sarah, a woman of faith who trusted you, even though it made no sense, and that they were willing to lay things down and actually go. And Lord, I don't know how you're exactly calling people to go here today or what it is that you're asking people to lay down, but I just pray that your Holy Spirit would make it truly known in this moment and through this week, that you would confirm that. So Spirit of God, we just open our hands and we open our hearts, and we want to have a posture that is willing to lay down what you would have us lay down. Jesus, we just thank you that you are so full of grace and love, that you use us, that you invite us, that you want us to be part of your great story. What a blessing. So Lord, I pray that you would just encourage and empower and comfort each one here today, that you'd give us just a bit more of a sense of that next step of faith that you're calling us to take in this next season of our life. And God, we trust you. We trust you. We pray this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.